We're going to analyze a somewhat bizarre discussion that comes up. Seems to be a little bit bizarre. Thank you. It's very much addressed to people, say, who are going through times of struggle right now. This man starts been here for a little over a week. Some of you maybe are having a hard time getting back into things. Those of you who are, you know who you are. So it's going to hopefully give us a little bit of chizuk to help us get through these more difficult times. I want to start with the Mishnah Avos. We have Avos here somewhere. I think we have a few Avoses. Avosai. Yeah, I got one over here. It says the Mishnah Avos in Perek Hay, in Mishnah Gimel, that Avram Avinu, the following fascinating idea. It says, Asar Nisyonos Nisnas Avram Avinu V'Avah B'Kulam. Avram Avinu was given 10 tests, and he Amar, he survived all 10 of them. He thrived, he excelled. Lodiya Kama Chibasa Shal Avram Avinu Alav Shalom. To demonstrate how much love Shel Avram Avinu. It's not really clear what this means exactly. Demonstrate a tremendous amount of love regarding Avram Avinu by giving him tests that he could pass. We don't know what that means exactly. Again, whose love? Was it God's love for Avram? Was it Avram's love for God? Lodiya Kama Chibasa Shel Avram Avinu. Sounds like Avram's Chiba of Hashem. So Hashem gives Avram 10 tests to show how much love Avram has for Hashem. Who's Hashem showing it to? Who's Hashem showing how much love Avram has for Hashem? Who's Hashem showing it to? Anyone? Who's Hashem showing how much love Avram has for him? So you could say, as Eliezer said, which is what you imagine would be the case, he's showing the nations of the world how much love Avram has for Hashem. But how many of them even knew the stories that we had? How many of them knew? Did they know about Kedis Yitzchak? The nations of the world knew about it? Certain miracles that happened in Mitzrayim, you're right. But about the things that were private between Avram and Hashem, Kedis Yitzchak, besides his two helpers, who else knew about it? Was there a newspaper? Would they have someone tweet it out? There was no Twitter back then. That was hard to imagine. Didn't exist. The Malachim. So we're trying to show the Malachim how much Avram loved him. So we're trying to show us how much Avram loved him. That could be. We read about it. It could be. But I'll tell you one more shot, which is not that anyone of you said. He was trying to show Avram how great, how much he loved Hashem. Avram had no idea how he could be Avram Avinu. He had no clue. Hashem gave Avram the biggest gift. He gave him the chance to prove himself to himself. People may wonder sometimes, you know, certainly in sports. I'll take a football example. Tom Brady. Right? Tom Brady. So Tom Brady only became Tom Brady after a terrible injury to Drew Bledsoe. He was a backup. No one knew how good he was going to be. Even he didn't know how good he was going to be. I probably thought he was a very confident guy. He probably thought he'd be good. But how would you know until you have a chance to be good? So he got a chance because someone got hurt. Now he knows. Now everyone knows how great he could be. But more important than everyone else knows, now he knows how great he is. Now he knows. Avram Avinu didn't have to prove anything to the nation of the world or even to future generations, though it's good that we do know about it. Avram Avinu, for the first time, found out about himself that he was Avram Avinu. He had no clue. That would be great. He had no idea. I want to go back to that point at the very, very end, why that's so important that he knows in the end how great he could be. I want to move over just if I can to discussion we're going to have today in the next few minutes, for the next few minutes, about a discussion that Hashem has with Avram Avinu about having a child. We all know that Avram Avinu was old. He was 86 when he had his first child, Yishmael, and him and Sarah couldn't have children together. He even said, Ein lo valad, she had no uterus, it says, according to Rashi. No uterus, the Medrash says. She wasn't able to have children. Not that she just didn't have stam, she wasn't able to. Says over here, they're talking. Avram's talking to Hashem, and Avram says, Hashem, listen, you know, after everything's been done, what do I got going for me? I have no kids. I have no Yitzhak. I have no child that I want to really call my own. All I have is Eliezer. So Hashem says to him the following. He says, no. He says, you'll have someone. You'll have a child. He took him outside. He took Avram outside. I want you to look, please, look heavenward, or from the heavens, according to the Medrash. Count the stars. If you can count that high. And he says back to Avram, and that will be your children. Those will be your children also. So number one, we look at Rashi for a second. It says Rashi the following Chiddush. Quotes the Medrash. He says, Hashem says to Avram, say mi atzigninus shalcha. Get out of your horoscope world you live in. Stop thinking. Guys, I want you to stay with me over here, please. Stay with me. Stop thinking that, you know, that everyone's predictions for you are going to come true. You're not bound by those laws. You know you had to read the stars, but you're not bound by the stars. The stars say you're not going to have a baby. So it's true. Avram won't have a baby. But Avraham, with the extra hay, he's got a great future ahead of him. Sarai has no valad. She has no uterus. Let's say she can have a kid. But Sarah, she can have a kid. You're not stuck in the stars. You're not stuck in the horoscopes. You can rise above the horoscopes. That's the message that God tells over to Avram. Now, most people, if you tried, we can't see them all, but if one could see all the stars, you could count them. You could count the stars. It's just a very, very high number. It could be maybe billions of stars, but it's a number. It's a finite number. It shouldn't be infinite. They can't count stars. If all, you can't count stars, why can't I count a star? So, I had a beautiful shot, a few ideas I want to bring down with you to explain this idea. Rav Hirsch suggests it's not a number. It's not a number. It's not counting a number. Ko yezarcha means just like this will be your children. Just like the stars. What is the star? What is just like the stars? And number two is he says the word na. The word na over here means please. When you tell someone please, what are you doing? Something they don't want to do, and you're saying, please do it. I'm asking you, please do it for me. I don't want to do it. Please. Come on. Just do it. Why is Hashem having to plead with Avram? What's he pleading with him about? What does Avram not want to do? What does Hashem plead with him to do? So Rav Hirsch is the following chiddush. First, do the please. He says, what are you asking please for? Says Rav Hirsch. He's saying that Avram Avinu basically was resigned to the fact I'm not going to have a kid. You know why? Because he happens to know how to read stars. And it was real. Reading stars is a real thing. You can read the stars, mazalos, constellations, they do have power. It's a reality. And Avram is here, it's not right, I'm stuck. And I give up, I can't do it. I says back to him, please don't give up, please. Not only that, but I'll teach you a very important law, he says. He says, ko yezarcha, what does ko mean? You're not going to be as much, you're going to be like the stars. What's the difference between a star and anything on this world? A star is the direct handiwork of God, says Rav Hirsch. God made the stars, the sun, and the moon. He did not make this tree. This tree was made from something else that God made. Almost everything that we have today in the world, says Rav Hirsch, is the product of a product of God. It's a step removed from God. It's a product of a product. The one thing that we can look at and say, oh, that was from God directly, the stars, the sun, the moon, we can see God's direct handiwork on that. It's true, the earth also was, the ground was, but the ground and stuff on top of it, which are things that came up after the fact, after creation. We planted, we made, we did this, we fertilized. But a star, just God. Says God the following to Avraham Avinu, please, change your focus for a second. You think that you're bound by the laws that we're stuck with here, that you're stuck with this world? I want you to take you a trip up here. See these stars? That's directly from me. And so are you. Your Zaracha, your children will not have to deal with a byproduct of a byproduct of God. You have a direct connection with God, Rav Hirsch says. You are all like the stars, not in the number, which is what most people think, that's what most people explain, but Rav Hirsch says, not like the number, but in quality. The stars are right, me and the stars, they're my direct handiwork. And you too, when you want something, you don't go to a middleman. You go straight to me, and I take care of you. And then I'm asking you, please realize nothing is beyond my ability. Nothing. I can do anything I want to do. That's how our first starts off with explaining this idea. It's a direct connection you have with Kadosh Baruch Hu that no one else has, nothing else in this world is. That's what your children will have. Kol will be your Zaracha. The Netzivah is a different approach, but a similar idea. Something that we can certainly see in the world. Like stars, the Netzivah says. A star is something that shines very bright. It's a tremendous shine. So you're going to be like stars. The amount of you in the world is maybe few, but you're going to shine in a way that people in the masses don't shine. If you remember, we went to Eish HaTorah, to the Discovery Seminary, Eish HaTorah, he had a whole piece there where he described the Jewish people's roles in history. And the amount of, whether it be Nobel Peace Prize winners or others who have affected the world that are Jewish is so inappropriate in its number. It's so off the amount that should be. Then it seems says Hashem was telling Avraham Avinu, like the stars have a tremendous glow to them, so too will be your children. Same exact way. I'll tell you something a little disturbing for me. And I hope you don't know if I've known this room over here. There's a word I don't call it a holiday even, but something I haven't heard about in years. At least I know what the word is, but I never really heard people talk about it, called Halloween. It's a Goyish event or a made up, I I don't know what's called a holiday, whatever it's called. That Jews have no shaykhs to it. We have no shaykhs to it. Okay, tell the people that your Nadir's neighbor knocking on your door and you give them some food, you give them candy, you give them some Hershey's chocolate and they leave. So that's our shaykhs to it. You're not like other nations of the world, you're different than other nations of the world. For you, for some reason, I heard someone say the other day that there are people in yeshivas, I don't know if Torah Shraga, I hope not, that will go to places in Israel to have like a Halloween get together, bash, something like that. It means that you basically to God, keep your stars to yourself. I don't want to be a star. I'm not interested in being a star. I don't want direct connection with you. I want to be like everyone else in the world. It would be the most disappointing thing to God. You're basically saying, I don't want to be like Avraham Avinu. I don't want to be Avraham Avinu's children. I want to be like everyone else in the world. You have the chance to be shining, to be unbelievable, to follow a history where you can make the biggest difference in the world, and for some reason you want to dumb yourself down? You want to make yourself dull, not bright? I want to be everyone else in the world. I want to celebrate a pagan holiday in Israel. Go home for it. You know, you want to fly home? You want to fly home? So go home for it. But in Eretz Yisrael, you think it's appropriate to even ponder, should I go? Should I be part of a celebration of a pagan holiday? You're breaking Avraham Avinu's bris with Hashem. He told Hashem, I want you to see something. I want to show you something over here. And you say to God, nah, it's not for me. I want to be like everyone else's. The Mitziv would cry over that. Your Bayim would cry over that. Your Neshama would cry over that. It should be the farthest thing from your mind. If at any point anyone here in this room knows anyone, I'm sure there's no one here, who would even think about a ridiculous action here in Israel to do that, save it for college. You can save it later on. It's so wrong right now. I can't tell you, you know, in harsher words than I'm doing right now. I can't. I'm just not going to. It's just so wrong. You're so off with what you think your role in the world is. You're just off. It's not the plan. God telling you this week's parsha, you want to be a star, you'll be different than everyone else in the world. You'll be different. And you want to embrace the pagan lifestyle people around you live in? It's wrong. And to end this point over here, and I'll just go one last point afterwards, Rav Schwab in his commentary on the parsha has a slightly different shot. He says you can't count the stars, because you can only count things that are finite. Stars, the way stars work, is stars over the course of time, they come and they go, they shine, they stop shining. You couldn't count them because they're not in the same place at the same time. It's impossible to count them. Says Rav Schwab, same thing with you. Not that you're not all here, but Dafka, since we are a connection with the infinite, we have a neshama inside us that's infinite, no one can pin you down. They can't pin you down because you're part of something that's much greater than you are. They can count you in number, but that doesn't begin to describe who you are. That's why there's an Israelite for a Jew to count another Jew. You can't count Jews. Because count means that you're an object. You're not an object. You happen to live in a body, but you're in a neshama that is connected to God's broken in a way that you can't imagine. And that's what they're telling Avraham Avinu. Your children will be so special, like the stars that are direct from me. Your children come directly from me. Koya Zarcha. You have a connection, a deep connection that no one else has. No one can count you because they can't count me, God says. And therefore they can't count you because we come from the same cloth. Okay, that's part one of the Shemus, discussing how we're like stars. Part two is something that's a little strange. When I read this around the first time, I thought it was very bizarre. It seems very cheap even. According to many commentaries, how could, and this really brought down in the Maharal, brings down the Gurari on the Chumash, on Rashi. He points out and he says, why would changing Avram to Avraham make a difference? So he quotes the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin Mabez. And the Gemara there says, there are four things that cause Hashem to be Korea Yigzardin. You tear up the decree that God had in mind for you. And one of them is when you're Mishana, your shame. Change your name. As a matter of fact, looking at Ram Hilchos Tshuva, Ram says, when you do Tshuva, what you're saying to God, that's not me. It's not me. It wasn't me. It was someone else. Same name. Sound like the same name as mine. Look like me. It's not me. Why in the world, does that really work? Does that work? Imagine this. You go to a court of law. You're found guilty of, you know, some terrible... They have a picture. They have everything about you. They have your fingerprint, your DNA. It's all over the place. You come in and say, Your Honor, I plead not guilty. All of a sudden, everyone's like, Your Honor, that wasn't me. But your DNA is the same. What's the guy's name whose DNA was? The guy's name was Ari. Oh, my name's not Ari. I changed my name last week. My name's Avi. Oh, okay. Sorry for putting you out. I apologize. You know, we like to compensate you for your lawyer fees. Are you kidding me? You change his name and then we're done? We have a whole new life, a whole reality? Oh, because Avram added a hey to his name. So now you can have a kid. Because Sarai took the yud off. I shed the yud off and added a hey instead. She can have a kid now. What? Mishaneh makol, mishaneh shem, mishaneh mazal. It's a very strange thing. Why does that work and how does that work? Maral quotes it though, which means it does work. The question is why? So it happens to be, actually that question, that point was a smog, but the Maral says, the reason why it works is because the shame represents the etzim of something. It represents the that thing's inside. We said, Adam Rishon, we said in the beginning of Bereishis, Adam Rishon named every single animal. Why are we giving him props for that? What's the big deal? I can name any animal also. Okay, your name is Fruit, and your name is, you know, that animal's name is Bob, and who cares that he did that? The reason why it matters, says the Sforno, is that Avram didn't just name it. He named it because he knew its essence. He could look at it, he could understand its essence, he gave it a name that was representing its essence. Doesn't mean you go to the passport control and you say, change my name from Ari to Avi. That's not what it means. It means that you are changing your essence. You're deciding that I'm a different person right now. I don't want to be that way anymore. I'm a new reality I want to live in. It could have happened yesterday. You decided yesterday you want to change your name, but you decided to change your name. There's hope for you. You have hope. You know one of the hardest things to do to change? You know the hardest thing to do? Is when, let's say I really want to change. My friends, they don't let me change. You know why? Because they know me already. So I'll change my name. What does it mean change my name? It means that I'm not who you think I am anymore. I'm not. I want you to realize that I'm going to call myself something different right now. I'll call myself now Avraham instead of Avi. Someone says to me, hey, Avi, what are you doing? I'll be like, I don't respond to Avi, I'm only Avraham. They're like, what are you, nuts? I'm like, no, it's my new identity. I'm defining myself that way. You say to yourself, my essence will change, and I'm going to share with you my essence is changing, because I don't want it that way anymore. The reason why Avraham turned Avraham is because after passing test after test after test, he wasn't Avraham anymore. He wasn't. Nor was Sarai. They became Avraham and Sarah. They had a name change because they earned the name change. It's not a court of law where you just happen to legally change it. You became something different. And that gives you a whole new reality. Back to what we said earlier on, the reality is because the stars that told the story of Avraham never told the stories of Avraham. And you and I are never defined by those things anymore. Because God says, Ko Yezarcha, you're like the stars right now. You're not like us anymore. That's how you know that a person can change. Because God gifted us the opportunity to be above the stars. To be like the stars, but not defined by the stars. Which brings me to the next question. This will stop. Why did, why you had a simcha, let's say. You have a simcha and someone wishes you a mazel tov. Good luck, mazel tov. You have a, before you do something or after you do it, they give you a shkoyach, mazel tov. What does the word mazel tov really mean? If I have good luck, if I already have good stars, good luck, then I don't need you to wish me. If I don't have it, then your wish is not going to really matter at all. Can a person's mazel change? So happens to be the answer is it can. It can change. A person can have a mazel that's you know, like Avram was, that's childless of a mazel, a childless mazel. But there's one thing that changes mazel. There's one thing. The thing that changes mazel is tefillah. Tefillah changes your mazel. You may say, I can't get into it, I can't figure it out, I'm not good at it. But actually, one of my family members one time, he had a challenge that he couldn't remember things. Not like in a bad way, meaning not like he was like an amnesiac, but it means that he forget it like 2 minutes later, forget the Torah. And he went one time to a Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, well, you know, he said, I want a bracha, I should remember my Torah. And to this day, he remembers so clearly his Torah. It wasn't just a bracha. He davened. He was created in a way when God didn't wire his brain that way. But he said, I'm not okay with that, God. And Ko Yezarcha, you lift me above my mazel. I'm begging you to give me a chance to really understand it. Whatever issue you think you might have, whatever holding you back, you know, you're frustrated with this, you're out of it with that, so you can daven. You're not limited to the stars, wherever you're right now. You're not limited to that. You can daven. You can pray to God to protect you, to help you out in these situations. And he says the following chiddush. For you to change your mazel, Torah also is the way you can connect to God. With Torah is the way you can do it as well. Doesn't matter how many hours a day you learn. It matters when you learn, are you connecting mysterious efforts to God? When you learn, is your phone on? When it rings, it buzzes, you peek at it. If you were in the middle of an important meeting in a business, you know, setting, would you peek at your phone if it was ringing? You wouldn't peek at it. If you were a trial attorney, and all of a sudden you're in your closing argument, and you get a phone call, are you going to see who's there? Or respond to a text while you're talking in your final part to the judge? You're going to, of course you're not going to do that. You know why? Because it's important to you. How important, Rav Pinkus asks, how important is Torah to you? Are you most serious your nefesh to connect to God in this way? Now maybe you'll tell me, maybe, and we'll end with this point. That year is a long year ahead of you, and got a lot ahead of you. We take our time. So it happens to be that the Or Gedaliah Yahu, Gedaliah Shura, says the following pshat. He says that, you know, to Avram learn how great he was, If Avram would have failed one of his tests, he never would have been able to get the other ones. He wouldn't have, because his life would have taken a change. You might think to say, I've got a lot of time ahead of me. I'm a young guy, which is true, Baruch Hashem. I'll wait until to start working hard. Until Chanukah, start working hard. You might say that. And you can. You will never get back those months, ever. You can never become what you lost. You can't do it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. You can invest, you can make a lot, you can be great. But you can never make up what you lost. You can't. It's not possible. If Avraham Avinu would have failed the test, he could have passed 9 out of 10. He wouldn't be a shadow of himself. He's not even close to where he's supposed to be in the end. You have the opportunity of a lifetime. You're here right now in Eretz Yisrael with should be minimal distractions. For you to be involved or engaged in learning Torah, when you're learning Torah, with ridiculous things. For you to even think about checking your phone in the middle of a Tosfos. We're not expecting any emergency calls. Nothing's going on right now. What's going on? Nothing emergency. If you have emergency calls, so get it. You have a half hour day. Can you even say to me you have a half hour day when Torah is always on your mind? You will not focus on your phone at all. You shut it off. You give it to your friend. I'm not looking at it at all. Then your Torah is not Mesiras Nefesh. Then you're not passing your test. If a buzz, you want to see what's happening, you look at it. You're not passing your test. And you might be great this year, but you won't even come close to where you're supposed to be in the end. Not even close. And the saddest thing is that your only job in the world is to do that. That's the only job in the world. There was a movie I saw long ago called Good Will Hunting. I've quoted in the past. My happy favorite movie. I hope you learn the lesson of it. There was a scene, a very famous scene, where they're hanging out, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, they're hanging out in the construction site, talking about what's going to happen 20 years from now. Are they gonna, kids are going to play together. And I'm not going to use the language that was used there because it's terrible. Ben Affleck says to Matt Damon, who's, you know, if you in the movie, the back of the movie, he's a genius. He's a genius. He just happens to work in construction. He's a punky genius. If in 20 years from now, my kids are playing, you're still living where you're living, and you come to me with work every day, what I do, he goes, I'll kill you myself. Because you're sitting on a lottery ticket. You're the luckiest guy in the world. Do something about it. You're sitting, Ko Yezarecha, you're on a lottery ticket. God gifted you your life. But not like everyone else, like a Jew. Like a son of Avinu who doesn't have constellations to worry about. You have God at your beck and call. And you have X amount of time in the world, that's all you got. And to say, oh, I'll start later. You don't start later. You can't do that. It means you'll never be you. You'll never. You'll be a shadow of you. Learn how to learn with Mesiras Nefesh, how to daven with Mesiras Nefesh, how to beg for things. How to not say to God, I feel limited. I'm not limited. How when you're having a tough time, you say to God, I demand you get me out of this. I demand a God from you. Because I want to be close with you. You have the right to demand from God those things. You have the right to. If only you understood that you're sitting on a lottery ticket. For a person who fathoms what to do at nighttime, that's so anti-religious. You don't understand. You're out to lunch. You're wasting God. You're wasting Him. I feel terrible for you, as does God. To quote Ben Affleck, I should kill myself. I should kill you. Because you're killing yourself. You have the opportunity of a life, and I wish you a bracha. You should find the inner strength to know what's right and what's not right. To know what helps and what doesn't help. To be able to say to God, I'm not okay with this, I want to be better. And to be each other's chizuk, to help us get to that state in time. Have a good Shabbos.